Again, it's good to see everybody here tonight. We have a simple lesson. It's going to be, should be an easy lesson to digest and think about. And when we talk about faith, literally everybody has a faith. It's either a non-faith or a faith in the wrong thing, or it's a faith in God. And so what we need to question is, what kind is our faith? And so we need to determine that. Now, when it comes to faith, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. Now, the word in the Hebrew basically means, when he says children in whom is no faith, he actually means whom there is no faithfulness. In other words, they still believe in God. And we know the children of Israel still believed in God. They just didn't honor him. They didn't live righteous lives like they were supposed to. And so a few times in Scripture when it says they have no faith, that basically means they have no solid faith of which they live by. In Habakkuk 2 and verse 4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And of course, the just or the righteous shall live by faith is quoted several times in the New Testament. See, as we study the Bible, we learn about faith. And this is something that we develop over our lives. And sometimes we even pray to God to increase our faith and ask him to do that. And of course, he's told us how to increase our faith, to spend more time in his word, and our faith will grow. And sometimes it is what we learn that gives us this kind of faith. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. And sometimes, yes, we can hear the word of God. Sometimes we can read the word of God. Realize back in the Bible days, not too many people knew how to read and write. So that was just limited to a few people. So really, that's why he says faith comes from hearing the word of God. Or the word of Christ. One version says the word of Christ. The other says the word of God. And so there's two types of faith that we need to consider. And the first is an objective faith. The objective faith is basically the type of faith that has been revealed by God, for which we are to obey. It's something that is objective. In other words, it is something we can look at and see ourselves. This is what kind of faith he wants us to have. And so in Jude 3, it says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That is the faith that he wants us to have. And so it's an object that we can look at and we can call it the faith, call it a faith, and that's what we have. In Romans 1:5, to bring about the obedience of faith. What faith demands of us who happen to adopt this type of faith. It's obedience that he wants us to do. In 16:26 of Romans, the commandment of the eternal God has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. And the obedience of faith, in this case, is the obedience of what has been taught by God, which we have written in the Word of God. Another type of faith is subjective. And this is where most people are. An individual's personal conviction. I mean, do I want to believe in God, or do I want to believe in Buddha? Do I want to believe in the Muslim faith or any other type of faith? I mean, so people have individual personal choices that they can make, and this is a subjective faith. I mean, faith that is not solid and secure, that is always changing. And we see that in the denominational world, they're always changing what they believe. I mean, they'll go along for a while, and when that gets boring for people, they decide, well, we're going to change it a little bit. And so, I mean, that's when people started getting rid of the Bible and leaving the Bible, because it just didn't appeal to a lot of people, or so they thought. And so they said, well, however you want to feel about your faith, that's fine with us. You know, a lot of them out there, you know, I read a website one time, we don't care if you believe in God, we don't care if you believe in Allah, we don't care if you believe in the Zen or Zao or whatever, but as long as you support the agenda that we're trying to support. I mean, so that's what we do. So that's why it's a subjective faith. All right. Sometimes even the lack of conviction is a subjective faith. I mean, I'm not convinced the Bible is the Word of God, so I'm just going to believe what I want to believe. And so that is a type of subjective faith. It's always subject to changes. It's always subject to the environment. It's always subject to the way society views things. It's always subject to what I feel like. And so that's why some people enjoy this subjective type faith, because there's nothing they can put their finger on and say, this is what it's supposed to be. It's always what I feel. And so this faith is to be derived from several sources. And it comes from, like I say, not only our own personal feelings, but like I say, maybe it's the environment. Maybe it's the political environment that we are in. I mean, we have to accept certain things, and we're told to accept certain things, even though we can turn to the Bible and see exactly what God said and know that those things they're trying to get us to accept are not right in the sight of God. So, learning the Bible is one way to change our subjective faith into the objective faith which we're supposed to have, because the Scripture gives us one faith. I mean, like Ephesians 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. I mean, there is one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so there is only one faith. But yet, if you look at the denominational world, there's many different faiths out there. They all claim to be focusing upon the Jesus the Christ. They all claim to be focusing on God. But they teach different doctrines. There's thousands of different doctrines out there. And a lot of them out there say, well, it doesn't matter which doctrine. As long as you feel you have a relationship with God, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's not a subjective faith. Or that's what subjective faith is all about. And some people base their faith upon personal experience. And you might hear somebody say, well, my experience with the Church of Christ is this or that, so I don't want to mess with them. My experience with the Baptist church or whatever church or Catholic church, I mean, you name it. And a lot of people have had experiences with different groups. But yet that still is a subjective type of faith. And learning from the experience of others. Maybe we listen to others, and what others teach us might be something that brings us towards the objective faith, which we find in the Bible. But most people, they like to follow subjective faith because they're not nailed down to one particular thing. If they don't like what they're doing, they can change. If they don't like what their faith says, well, I will just believe something else. And it doesn't matter what the group that they're with teaches. I have my own expectations. You know, it's like the people say, well, I have a personal relationship with God. All that is a cop-out that they're not going to do what God tells them to do, and they're just going to live the life they want to live. And yet they still want to claim, oh, but I have faith. Yeah, a lot of people say that. So we're going to look at some different types of faith. See, reading the Bible declares several types of faith that various individuals exhibited. And some of these are to be rejected, as the Bible declares them to be rejected by God. And so we're going to jump back and forth a little bit as we look at these. And some of these need to be put into practice in our personal lives. So if it's one of those positive types of faith, we need to make sure that we're doing those things. So let's look at some types of faith. Now there's a dead faith, and obviously this is one we're not supposed to have. See, while not dead physically, our faith has lost any viability in our own lives. And that's why it's called a dead faith. You know, the church of Sardis, the people thought that they were alive, but God said, you're dead. I mean, you're just there. You're just dead, and you don't even know it. And you know what? Some people are like that. Some churches are like that. They're dead and don't even know it. And so we don't want that type of faith to be attributed to us and in our own lives. See, James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. And so faith, and here's where a lot of people fit in this category right here. They say they have faith, but they're not going to be doing any works to merit their salvation, or that's what they claim. In other words, as long as I have a believing faith, I believe in Christ, and I believe what the scripture says, that whoever believes on him shall be saved. In other words, I don't have to do a thing in order to be saved. And so that's what they teach. And so the context reveals that our works offer proof of our faith. And here's why we do it. And this is what James 2 says. Show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I mean, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith. So, I mean, it's the evidence. The evidence. Like, do we believe the Bible like we talked about this morning? I mean, you have to look at the evidence. I mean, if you're living the way the Bible teaches, then yes, you do believe the Bible. But if you're not living the way the Bible teaches, you don't believe the Bible. And so, you say you have faith, but you don't do anything. I mean, how can that be a faith? And so once again, in verse 26, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. All right, a weak faith. And yes, there are some people who have a weak faith. They kind of waver back and forth between worldliness and serving God, and they get easily distracted, and some are not as strong as others. We might question things, and that's good and healthy. Even if we've been in the church a long time, there's sometimes we just need to sit down. Now, do I really believe this? And it's good and healthy to question ourselves. Sometimes it's good and healthy to go back to the scriptures and study what I thought I already knew and just basically, okay, well, that's what the Bible says. That's what I'm going to stick with. And so we can do that. And so I'm sure a lot of people over time, as they continue to study, they realize maybe some of the things they held to in the past really wasn't that way. So you got to hold on to certain things. And sometimes questioning things is the right thing to do. You know, we're told to test ourselves, examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And so this might hinder us from doing good if we have a weak faith. If we have a weak faith, we're really not going to demonstrate our faith so that others will see. In other words, we're afraid others will see us acting like a Christian and start making fun of us. And some people are that way. They are that weak. And they let things get in the way and, like I say, distractions get a hold of them. In Romans 14:1, it says, now accept the one who is weak in faith. And even though someone is weak, that doesn't mean we have to shun them. In fact, we're supposed to embrace them. And what we do, we embrace them, we encourage them, we demonstrate our love to them, and we demonstrate the edification that they need. And as time goes along, their faith begins to build up because they're around us and we've accepted them. Now, if they want to stay weak in the faith, then they're not going to hang around us. There's just no way. They're not going to hang around Christians. They would rather spend their time with their buddies and their co-workers and the classmates and things like that, maybe their neighbors. But hanging around Christians, you know, some people despise that. And I don't understand it, but people who claim to be Christians, they do that. And you wonder, I mean, they have a weak faith. So what are we going to do? we're going to continue to teach them the best we can. See, Romans 14, 2, one man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Yeah, the context of Romans chapter 14 is explaining meat sacrificed to idols. And some people thought, well, it's a sin to eat meat. Well, specifically from 1 Corinthians 8, meat that was sacrificed to idols. No, don't do it. Now, Paul said, we know there's nothing to an idol. I mean, false god, there is no such thing as a true god out there other than the living God. So meat that's been offered as a sacrifice to the idol, there's nothing wrong with eating that. However, if the person you're with says, oh, this was meat was sacrificed to an idol, you stop right there. You consider, okay, where's this man's faith? Is it weak? If someone does something that they're not sure about, then it is sin. That's what Romans 14, 23 says. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And so this person, they don't know if it's sinful or not, and they look and see you eating it. Well, I'm going to go ahead and eat it anyway. I mean, they're sinning by doing that, and you have caused your brother to sin. So you got to make sure that the people you're with understand all these matters. So that's the context bears this out. And some are weak in the faith. They're not really sure. So when they're not really sure, that gives us the opportunity to assist them and help them. Romans 15 basically says the same thing. And if you put it into our words, you take these weak brethren, put them under your wings, and guide them the direction they need to go. And so Romans 15, 1 through 7 kind of gives you that idea. And then ye of little faith. Weak faith, little faith, they're really two different things, even though you might think, well, they're pretty much the same thing. This is where we know that we are supposed to trust in God, but our reality suggests that such is not going to happen. Sometimes if you get real, you realize this. I mean, sometimes we have to look at the cold, hard facts that some people are just not strong like God wants them to be. And so our trust is supposed to be in God, and we all say we trust in God. In God we trust is on our money. But you know what? When the going gets rough, what do? We start fretting about it. We start worrying about it. And we're anxious for it. And we're taught, no, turn it over to God. Give this stuff over to God. Let him take care of it. And so reality is we want to take care of ourselves. We want to be responsible enough. We don't want to bother God. God is busy enough, as we might think in our own mind. He's so busy, he's got billions and billions of people crying out to him. He's helping all these people. He don't have time to mess with me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to try and take care of it myself. And if I get into a deep, dark pit that I can't crawl out myself, then I'll scream for God to help me. I mean, that's how some people do it. But we should not do that. As Paul told there in Ephesians 4, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And the peace of God will support you. And the peace that passes all understanding will guide your hearts. So that's what we need to do. See, in Luke 12, 28, he's speaking to his disciples, O ye of little faith. I mean, they're sitting there saying, well, we couldn't do this. We couldn't cast out the demons. We couldn't do any of these miracles that you're doing. He says, ye little faith. He said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move, and it would. And the problem is, they didn't believe it. I mean, that mountain has been here however long, and just saying, okay, mountain be gone, and then all of a sudden it's gone. That's not a reality. That's not a human reality. So there's where the problem lies. In our humanity, we are limited by our experience, by our human experience. We're limited by time. We're limited by space. We're limited by physics. We're limited by so many different things. And then just to say, okay, have faith that something can be accomplished. I mean, we start thinking, how's that going to happen? See, Matthew 8:26, but he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I mean, here he is, he's sleeping down in the bottom of the boat, he's sleeping, the waves are getting really dangerous, and man, they're thinking they're gonna die. And so it gets to bothering them, and then all of a sudden he comes up, "What is wrong with you? You have no faith?" So he said, "Peace be still." And the winds were calm, just like that. And they sat there and marveled and wondered, "What kind of man is this, who commands even the wind and the sea to obey?" And it does. I mean, so this was not something that was within their repertoire of experience. Let's put it that way. No, it wasn't. And so there was something different there, and eventually they learned that. Then we have a strong faith. This is what we need to have, a strong faith. See, this makes one confident that they are doing the Lord's will that he has revealed to us. The Lord has told us what he wants us to do. It's in the pages of his Bible. As we study the Bible, we learn what we are supposed to do. And so that's what we're supposed to do. The more we do, the stronger our faith gets. The stronger our faith gets, the more we realize we need to get down and study a lot more, because there's more there to learn. And we just need to have our minds opened up and be ready to hear even more of what God has to say to us. And so we should be doing that. In Romans 4:18-21, Abraham believed God. Why? Because Abraham was suffering. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was 99 years old. And God says, "Your wife is going to conceive a child." Okay, how many people 100 years old have you ever seen give birth? I mean, how many guys 100 years old actually can do it anymore? I mean, rarities, in fact. But still, even though in the back of his mind he thought, I'm too old for this, I just can't do it. But you know what? God said to do it. So guess what? He did. And guess what? She became pregnant and brought forth the child. And so, it happened. And because of that, his faith was considered as righteousness. And then there's some that have a great faith. I mean, these are the type of people like the martyrs of the first century. I mean, they were teaching God's word, and they were led into the lion's dens. They were led into the rings where the gladiators just slaughtered them. They were led into prison. They were led into all sorts of places because their faith carried them. It's rare to see that kind of faith today. And so when someone has a strong faith, it is also supposed to be viewed as a great faith. I mean, Luke 7:9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Here, a Roman centurion comes up, says, "Will you heal my servant? My servant is sick, and I'm concerned about him. And you know what? You don't even have to come to my house. All you have to do is say the words, and he will be healed. I believe that." And that's when Jesus marveled and says, you know what? Children of Israel here, they've been supposedly preparing for a Messiah for all these years. The Messiah shows up, and they're still looking for him. They're staring at him right there. But they're not able to see that, where a Roman centurion, not even a Jew, but a Gentile, said, "Just say the word and he'll be healed. I believe in you." I mean, that was great faith. And Jesus recognized that. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. It is having the confidence that what God wills is going to be done. I mean, we know it's going to happen. Things don't happen unless God allows it to happen. Now, in fact, I read that there in Lamentations chapter 3. I mean, things take place. Some people act wickedly, and it's going to happen that way. Some people just reject God's will and they're going to do it anyway. Well, we know what the Bible says about them. They're lost and they're going to stay lost. Those who turn their back on God are going to be lost forever and in eternity. And so, but when we accept that what God wants, and really think about this, what God wants, He has told us. There are no question marks. What God wants us to know, He has given us. He's given us everything we need. You know, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, He's given it to us once for all. We don't have to have some new revelation if somebody tries to come along and say, oh yeah, the Lord spoke to me and gave me a new revelation. You know, the problem is, it's not a new revelation. It's just something they made up in their own mind. And what they teach is going to be different from what the Bible says, and the Bible's all we need, so it's unnecessary. And if they say, well, I got a new revelation, and they teach the same thing the Bible says, well, I mean, they already had that. The revelation's already been given 2,000 years ago. All right, so we need to have the confidence that what God wants is going to be done. Now, what God wants is for us to be faithful. Now, do we have the courage to make sure we do it? That's how we need to look at this. I mean, God's will be done. We say that a lot, you know. If the Lord wills, we'll have this or that. I mean, we say that. But you know what? I know what God wants. He wants me to be faithful. He wants me to be righteous. He wants me to be considerate of others. He wants me to consider the feelings of others. He wants me to be a teacher for others, to guide them. I mean, this is God's will. And it's the right thing to do. And then, no faith. I got a question mark there. Because like I said, the idea of no faith is just basically a lack of faithfulness is what most of these are talking about. And I really think it is impossible not to have any faith at all. Because we all have to have faith in something. I mean, when you take your keys out of your pocket and go to your car and crank the engine, you have faith it's going to start. I mean, we have that confidence. Yeah, it's going to start. And if it doesn't, okay, well, it just messed up my day. But still, we have to have faith. You have to have faith that when the light turns green, the people on the other side, they have a red light that they're going to stop. And you do that, but people find out all the time. Some people don't stop. And so there's still faith. If you see a wire on the ground, do you have the faith to say, well, that's not a hot wire, and you decide to pick it up? Well, that's a big mistake. So you're not really sure about that, so you stay away from it. That's what type of faith that you can have. And some people have faith in God. Some people have faith that there is no God. And believe me, with all the evidence out there, they have to have a much stronger faith that there is no God than for us to have a faith there is God. Because we see the evidence of God in ourselves. We see the evidence of God in each other. We see the evidence of God in all creation. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the invisible attributes of God are made known by the things which are made. And so, what is in this world? I mean, the order of this world, the order of everything. I mean, from the working of the human cell, the working human DNA and our bodies. I mean, this is all the work of God. And the evidence of God is so overwhelming for those of us. Now, people out in the world, they don't want to do what God says, so they're going to question everything. They're going to question, does God exist? Is there a God? And a lot of them just like to wear the title of agnostic, which basically says, well, I don't know if there's a God or not, but I'm not going to investigate it. I really don't want to know, because a lot of them realize that if they started believing God, they'd have to make changes in their life, and a lot of them don't want to do that. See, one may not believe in God and thus having no biblical type of faith. And so, but they might have faith in something else. I mean, we hear some people have faith in the electoral system. Some people have faith in government. Some people have faith in the governor to do his job. Some people have faith in other things. The problem is, that's a weak, very weak type of faith. And one has to have a certain amount of trust in everyday things. I mean, when you go home and you lock the door behind you, you trust that nobody's going to come crashing through that door and harm you. I mean, there is a trust there. And if someone breaks into a house, you have been violated. You feel violated. And 9 times out of 10, people have been broken into, they're going to move. They just don't feel security anymore in their home. So that happens. And Jesus spoke of some as having no faith, or no, little to no faith. And Mark 4 and verse 40, he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" If you remember from Mark 4, I mean, the winds and the waves are going around. He asked them, "Why do you have no faith?" And they did that. That just means they had no faith in God. They had no faith that God was going to protect them. See, God's given his promise, he will watch out for us, and he will take care of us. He will protect our souls. He doesn't necessarily guarantee he'll save our lives, but he will protect our souls. And so we have to have that type of faith. But some people just don't have any faith that they put their trust in. So they don't put their trust in God. 9 times out of 10, people put their trust in themselves, and basically they disappoint themselves. Some people like to put their trust in people, but that's a big, big problem there. You can't trust people anymore. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So the very middle verses of the Bible, Psalm 118, verse 8 and verse 9, "It is better to trust in God than in man. It is better to trust in God than in princes or the government." I mean, put our faith in God and let's leave it there. All right, these are just a few types of faith. I mean, there are many passages of Scripture that describe the things that faith does for us. Faith, I mean, it's there. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's what we... It holds up our standard of what we believe. And so there's many passages talks about the faith, how we acquire the faith, where we learn the faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God and learning these things and applying our faith and having the type of faith that God wants us to have. And so faith that is a trust that you place yourself into the hands of God for his guidance and his protection. As we go through life, we finally come to the realization, I'm only here by the grace of God. So God, I'm in your hands. I mean, so some of us have had health problems and we realize, okay, God, if I'm going to continue, it's going to be by your grace. I mean, so that's what we have to come to. So God, use me as you want. I mean, so we live for God, and so we seek for his guidance and his protection. And we trust that he will do that. See, Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That's right. If we don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. And so our faith must accept what God teaches us. Our faith must apply to our lives what God teaches us, and then our lives need to demonstrate what God teaches us. And then we'll know he'll be able to look at us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So have you got the right kind of faith? I mean, yeah, different types of faith. Some people have weak faith, some people have strong faith. No doubt that the people here tonight have a very strong faith. Because you're here. I mean, some people's faith is just not there, not where we think it ought to be. So that's why we encourage them to be stronger faithfully. So you've got that kind of faith. Keep it up. All right, that's our lesson. Consider these thoughts, and we always, like I say, conclude our lessons with a invitation song. So think about these things. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing. Now.
280, song of invitation, 280. Be singing the first and last stanzas of 280.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow Him.
Seated for a moment. We don't have anybody that needs to take the Lord's Supper, so we'll just go over our announcements again. Lori's daughter-in-law, Shawnette, with the aggressive cancer, so let's keep her in our prayers. And Lori's traveling there, so let's keep her in our prayers also. Russell's siblings, Roy, Terry, and Randy, all have health problems, along with Russ. Russ has health problems too. I mean, we just have a running calendar with all of his appointments that we have to keep up with. But anyway, keep him in our prayers. Sheila has health problems. I have health problems. Linda has health problems. Let's see. I think Al's safe over there. The rest of us. Estrella, yeah, she actually had a good report. She's cancer-free right now, so we're glad for that. All right, so anyway, we just need to remember all these people. They went to pick up Maureen and Al, but Maureen's back was giving her a lot of problems, so they decided to stay in. So, anyway, they just need our prayers. Al is supposed to be seeing the doctor tomorrow about his leg, and hopefully the doctor will figure out what needs to be done so he can start walking again. So anyway, let's keep them that. And Avery and Tracy back with us again tonight. We're thankful for that. We're glad to see you. And anyway, I'm sure there's something else I was going to mention, but that's it. Well, anyway.
Ladies Bible class Tuesday.
Ladies Bible class on Tuesday. Yes, we have that going on. So Ladies Bible class on Tuesday. And like I say, Wednesday night, we'll have our Wednesday night service online. All right, so, that's it. Let's go ahead and be dismissed with a closing prayer. Our God and Father above, as we come before you, we pray that as we learn these lessons, that we will apply them to our lives, that we will do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Help us, Father, to have the courage to speak up and mention you and plant seeds for others. And we pray, Father, that as we do our part, you will do your part by providing the increase. We pray, Father, on behalf of all those that we mentioned by name, all those who are suffering with different problems, and some can be healed and some cannot. So whatever the situation, keep them comfortable and help us deal with that, and help us have the courage to bring you up in our conversations to talk about you and the importance of serving you. We pray, Father, that you'd be with us as the affairs of our congregation are being worked out, and so we're looking for that to take place rapidly, and we can have a definite decision to be made. We ask, Father, that you be with us now. Help us be the kind of people you want us to be. We might set a good example and let our light shine. And we ask, as always, Father, forgive us of our sins as we do fail you from time to time. And be with all of our Christian family and be with all of our loved ones. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
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 I wouldn't have done that. She didn't. She took out the mic.